We have three scripture readings for this morning, and the first one is from the Psalter. It's Psalm 51, verses 15 through 17. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no need for sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The second scripture is from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And from the Epistle of James, the 4th chapter, verses 6, 8 through 10. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, O you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, ordinarily we don't talk about good things coming from brokenness. We're in a series called Lessons, and I thought about what might be the eight greatest life lessons that I've learned. I shared the first one last week about our need to remember the Sabbath. Today's lesson is very simple. It's the blessing of brokenness. I heard someone say at one time that until a man or a woman, until a person is broken, he or she does not know the sufficiency of God's grace. Now, I want to talk about a particular kind of brokenness, because we know there's a brokenness that is that we experience in life we all go through. And there are some blessings that come out of those kinds of experiences. But basically, the biblical understanding of brokenness is the brokenness of pride. I remember the story about a preacher who went to this particular church to preach. He stood in the back. He had a big, big robe on. It was very colorful. Before he came in down the middle aisle, he asked everyone to stand. Please turn and look at him as they sang that first hymn. And then he got up to the pulpit and he said, "Sing it to me again." And he stood up there very proud for everybody to see. And then he had them to sit down. And then he wanted to make sure everybody could hear him. And the lights were directed right towards him. Everybody could see him. And then he checked out to make sure that it was being recorded so he could sell his tapes later. And he went on and on and on and on. And he preached and he got up and he was preaching on point one and point two and point three and point four and point five. But as he went on, he began to kind of run out a little bit of steam because nothing was happening out there in the congregation. Matter of fact, it looked like the plant was wilting out there. And so finally, as he came to the end, he sort of just slumped his head down a little bit and said, "That's all I got." And he just felt terrible and miserable. He couldn't look at the people, so he stepped slowly out of the pulpit. And he had the people to rise and then just walked out very slowly with his head down, very reflective. And he got to the door and he was shaking hands. There was one little lady that came out and said, "Reverend, could I share something with you today about, what I saw your problem was?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Well, if yous would have come in here like yous was going out, yous would be going out like you came in." You know, I have to laugh at myself, but many times that's been me, that my pride has kept me from receiving one of the greatest blessings in my life. The blessing of God's grace. The scripture says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I want to talk about the blessings of brokenness, the blessings of the brokenness of our pride. What is the brokenness of our pride? Basically, it's three things. It's the shattering of our self-will. It is the stripping of our self-reliance. It is the softening of the soul of our heart. Basically, what it's about is it's about us laying down our pride and taking up a spirit of humility. A person explained it this way to me. He said that for many of us, we have a hard shell around us. And that hard shell is pride. And we're blind to the fact that that pride actually pushes people away and even keeps us from being sensitive to God's presence. And that hard shell, until it's broken, does not lead to life. And so the brokenness that I'm talking about is that hard shell of pride that is broken. And this person explained it like this. It's like living with the roof off and the walls down. In other words, there just aren't any more pretensions about my life. I come to God just as I am. Just as I am. I bring myself to you, O Lord, just as I am. And then when I talk with other people, their pretensions have dropped. It's me relating out of my heart. Being vulnerable, being honest, being more concerned about others than simply myself, living with the roof off and the walls down. This is the kind of brokenness that we're talking about. And Martin Luther said this, that God creates out of nothing. And until a man becomes nothing, he can make nothing out of him. And in my life, what I recognize has been at those times when I've confronted my pride, wherever it may have been about, and I've been able to allow that pride to be broken, either through God's word or through a circumstance in my life or through my fellow brothers and sisters who bring it to my attention. Sometimes I do that willingly, but I recognize in my life some of the greatest blessings have come when I have actually learned how to be broken. Because out of that comes the blessings. And I want to share with you the blessings of brokenness. The first blessing of brokenness is that God draws near. When you allow that shell to be broken, God comes to you like an ambulance running to the scene of an accident. God shows up in a heartbeat. Now, God's always been there, but you are aware like you've never been before. And you are not alone. You are so sensitive to the fact that God has drawn near you. That is a blessing of brokenness. If you want to know what aloneness is, it's living within that hard shell, where neither God nor your best friend can get to you, even to help you. The second blessing of brokenness is simply this. New life is released through brokenness. New life is released. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 24, that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it just simply remains a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it yields a plentiful harvest. So in other words, when I come to that point of being able to die to myself, there is a spirit of energy, there is a power that comes through me like never before. It's an unbelievable thing, but power is released through us when we experience that kind of brokenness and receive God's grace. The third blessing of brokenness is that we love deeper. You know, that our outer shell has been broken and we find that we can express our love better. For many different reasons growing up, I had to learn what true intimacy is about. It's being able to express your deepest feelings with another human being without being ashamed, not being afraid to admit your needs, not pretending to be another kind of self, maybe that someone would accept, but just being yourself and allowing yourself to be known. And one of the things that that I had with my father was I had a great father. I knew my father loved me. My father worked hard and provided for our family. There's kind of like two halves of our relationship. The first half was I knew he was a good father because he did good things for our family. But we weren't very, 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 very close. I lived a little bit more in fear of him because he was an ex-military guy. You know, he was in the Navy. There was a right way for me to comb my hair. There was a right way to cut the yard. There was a right way to do everything. But anyway, the second half, though, was different. My father changed, but our relationship hadn't quite changed. But over that second half, I had a desire to hear my dad say, "William, I love you." And I had a desire for me to be able to say to my dad, "Dad, I love you." Now, we knew that was true, but neither one of us had really, eyeball to eyeball, kneecap to kneecap, gotten together and said that. And then my dad was diagnosed with colon cancer. Within 10 days, he died. But during those 10 days, I visited him every day in the hospital, except the day he died because I was doing a funeral here. But every day I visited him, we would talk. And I looked my dad in the eyeball, and I felt a love for him like I never felt before. And I knew he was dying, but I had a love that I simply couldn't hold back. I wanted to express my love to my dad, and my dad wanted to express his love to me. And I want to tell you something. That is a freedom. That is a freedom that comes when we allow ourselves to be broken and that outer shell just to fall. And I have no regrets, and I'm so thankful. Not only do we love deeper and find it easier to express our love, but we find that we can worship deeper because we're less self-conscious about who's looking at us. You know, in the Bible, one of the favorite scenes of worship is King David worshiping before the Lord. He was actually dancing. And he was evidently, I don't know what kind of dance he was doing, but his wife peered out the window and said, "Oh, tone it down a little bit." But you know what? When you worship God, it's not about toning it down. It's about turning it up. And you just might express that in ways you never thought you would express it before. You know, there's no one right way you have to worship other than what Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. And I've seen people come to the freedom where they've been able to lift their arms. And if you don't feel like lifting your arms, you don't have to lift your arms. That's nothing magical about that. But I can tell you this, that when you've been broken and outer shell has fallen, you have a deeper worship with God. And then the last blessing is this. God is able to use you in ways you never thought possible. And you know, it always amazes me how much can get done when you don't care who gets the credit. You know, and I say that to myself too. And by the way, don't think that this message is for someone else and you can't wait to get home and tell them. This message... I had an experience one time. I was down in Hamlet, associate pastor, First United Methodist Church. We had two services. We had our early morning service, and I went to church very, very early. I was waiting to go in for the first service. There was a telephone there in the little room that the preachers spent some time with before the service. It rang, and this lady said, is there going to be a service today? Or who's preaching? And want to know who was preaching. And I said, "Well, I'm not preaching. The senior pastor is preaching." And he said, "Well, what's he going to preach about?" And I said, "Well, here's what I think he's going to preach about." She says, "Oh, goody, I'm going to send my husband and make sure he comes today." And I said, "All right, well, thank you very much." I don't know whether he came or not, but I kind of had a feeling that she needed to be there that day. But it amazes me the blessings that come from brokenness. God draws near. New life is released. You love deeper. You worship deeper. And God is able to use you in ways you never thought possible. Now, I want to show you very quickly some biblical characters. I want to draw your attention to the scripture, to the Word of God, just briefly. There were two kings, okay? And they were both anointed to be king. The first one was Saul, the first king of Israel. The second one, David. I want to tell you something about both these kings. They had a position of great power. They had a great authority, and they also had a great fall. They both sinned. And I mean, it's the kind that you read about in the tabloids. All right? The king has sinned. Now, they were alike in that, but flip the pages a little bit. And what is said of David? What is said of David was that he was blessed. And God affirmed him that he truly was a man after his own heart. And David now is thought of one of the greatest kings of Israel. Saul is, well, he's kind of like the person in the family you just don't talk about anymore. And Saul never recovered from his failure. What was the difference? Here was the difference. David came to the place where he realized that he had done wrong. And he was ready to admit it. And when the prophet Nathan told him this little story, you know, about the rich man that had all these lambs and the poor man only had one, but the rich man wanted his lamb, so he took that lamb. And David said, man, that's terrible. You know, that man should be taken and greatly punished. And Nathan says, you know, thou art the man. And he recognized his sin and he did not try to cover it up. He did not try to justify it. He went before God with a broken and contrite spirit. And so we attribute Psalm 51 to David. We don't know if he wrote it or not, but it certainly would make sense for his circumstance. So David comes before God. And he says, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. What is the sacrifice I need to make right now for my sin? And David realized it was not a sacrifice of a burnt offering or any other kind of sacrifice. It was simply the sacrifice of a broken heart, of allowing his pride to be broken. And it was. And the last thing David was thinking about was, I wonder if I can be king again. Because he didn't care. The only thing he cared about was being right with God and right with other human beings. And making amends for what he had done. Now, Saul knew he had done wrong. But Saul never came to a place of brokenness. He never allowed his heart to be broken. And Saul, unfortunately, was like the proud that God simply resisted. Well, and then there are several other little stories. Contrast between the person of pride and the person of humility. In Luke's gospel, there are several examples. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus goes to the Pharisee's house. This particular Pharisee's name was Simon. He goes to the Simon's house. And on that particular day, a lady comes in. She wasn't really invited, but she came in. And, well, we know, having read this, that there was something special about this woman. Okay? She had experienced brokenness before. Okay? But she knew Jesus was there, and she wanted to come see Jesus. And so she came, and she had a jar of ointment that was very precious. She broke it open and anointed Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and her her tears fell on his feet. She wiped his feet with her hair. She was before Jesus, and she was, what was she doing? She was loving deeply. She was worshiping deeply. And no doubt new life had been released in her because she had the audacity to come into this house. And no doubt she felt God's experience and God was also using her. But Simon said, this man Jesus must not be a real prophet, because if he was a real prophet, he would not have allowed that woman to touch him. And so Jesus had to do a little on-the-spot teaching. And on-the-spot teaching was this. Wait a minute. I want you to realize something about this woman. Do you realize that she loves deeply because she's been forgiven a whole lot? And guess what? She is the one who is to be honored and recognized. Now, in Luke's gospel, there's this tremendous contrast between the religious leaders who are self-righteous and the ordinary people who struggle in life but have been labeled sinners, but yet come to that point and place and time which they just simply say, well, like the man in Luke chapter 18, two men went to pray at the temple. One was the Pharisee. He was to be seen. He was to be heard. And then right in the middle of his prayer, he noticed another man over there, a tax collector. He was far removed, but he was praying by himself. And in the middle of his prayer, he said, "And oh God, I'm also thankful that I'm not like that man over there." And then that man over there, the tax collector, just a simple sinner, you know what his prayer was? "Lord Jesus Christ, be merciful to me, a sinner." Wow. Do you see the contrast? And that's what I'm talking about. And then, of course, there's the story of the prodigal son. You got the elder son and the younger son. The younger son recognizes, you know what? He's just simply done wrong. He's going home and he's just presenting himself before his father. And there he comes. And his father throws a party for him, embraces him, you know. And the elder son is coming out from the fields, and he refuses to go in the house because, well, that's my brother who did all these things and wasted, the inheritance that he was given. And so the elder son, the self-righteous one, well, you know, he's still living with that outer shell because the father said to him, son, all that I have is yours. You've always been in the house with me. In other words, what he was saying is that I have a lot to give you too, but you haven't become broken like your brother. You know, it's amazing, and I'm sure you've seen it happen to other people, but there was a person that I know who actually came to this church and joined this church. He's at another church now, but when he came here, He had served some time in prison. He had a high position in business. He was well respected in the Triangle area. Apparently, he made a lot of money, but unfortunately, some of it was kind of under the table deal, and he lost a lot. Of course, he lost a lot of respect in the eyes of his peers. But he came to this church, and he wanted to know, should I go somewhere else where maybe no one knows me, to start over again? And I said, no, you need to start all over again in your own town, because you have no need to run if you've been broken and your heart is broken and contrite before God and you've been forgiven. You have no need to run. You begin in this place right here. And he did. He went on an Emmaus walk that I served on as a spiritual leader. Let me tell you what, he became one of the most humble men I've ever known. Do you know who called me up? I think it was on either January the 2nd or January the 3rd. I forget, but it was very early in the year. Somebody was on the other end of the line saying, "Reverend Green," and he called me Cowboy because I used to wear cowboy boots. He said, "Cowboy, do you know how much I love you?" And I was thinking, who's this guy? I mean, don't normally get those calls. Yeah. And then he said, "I want to wish you a happy new year. This is," and he told me his name. And I said, "Wow." He said, "Yeah, I was just thinking about you today. And I want to let you know, I'm never going to forget you and what you told me that day." Wow. I live for moments like that. I live for moments like that. But you know what I really need to do? I need to live for those moments when I allow myself to be broken and my pride gets broken. Now, how do we become broken? God uses several things. First of all, God simply uses His Word. There have been several people, when they've been honestly searching God's Scripture, have come to a point of recognizing, that's not just so-and-so, that's my story. I was that person. And I need to confess up. I now need to allow my pride to be broken. I need to have a contrite. I need to have a broken and contrite heart. I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to lay my pride down, and I need to take up a spirit of humility. God uses His Word. That's why we are to search the Scriptures and read it prayerfully. Second thing He uses is circumstances. Now, God does not cause bad things to happen. God does not sit up there with a little video game going, okay, this one's going to have a crash today. You know, like that. That's not what God does. I tell you what, I'm glad some of you aren't God and play video games. You know, be blowing up everybody. But things happen. Things happen, and God will zero right in on that situation. And it's almost like He's trying to cheer you on. Now, I'm going to show you what can come out of this. And that pressure bears on you, and that pressure bears on you. And you might even be fighting God. You may say, God, You did this to me. God, I don't like it. God, I don't know why these things happen to me. God, God. And then all of a sudden, bam! You go, God, I've been pushing You away. I don't want to push You away. I need You. I want You. And God goes, amen to that, brother. And then God uses that circumstance to soften your heart. And you're a different person. And you look back and you go, God used that bad experience and brought something good out of it. So God uses circumstances. God also uses other people, loving people, sometimes who come alongside us to talk with us. Now, we don't have to wait to be broken. We can choose to be broken. We can die to self. And of course, we do that by getting a fresh vision of God. Isaiah was in the temple. He saw a fresh vision of God. And he said, my goodness, God is holy. No joking. He's holy. Woe is me, a sinner. He had a fresh vision of God. And he experienced a certain brokenness right there in the temple. So we can choose to be broken by having a fresh vision of God. The second thing is we can be broken by not waiting for that to happen and do a little inventory. A little inventory, okay? You don't have to do this by yourself. You need to have some Christians in your life who are authentic, honest, vulnerable, loving and merciful, and who will tell you the truth about yourself. Now, that's hard to find, okay? But you need to get a group of people who know you pretty well and you trust, and you just need to ask them some questions and tell them there's going to be no consequences for the answers. And you need to say, could you please tell me about what you see in me and how I behave and some of the things that I have done, and people may actually tell you and point some things out to you in a loving way. That's called accountability. It's one of the hardest practices in the Christian faith, but it's one of the most valuable ones, because when people, you know, blessed are the wounds of a friend, because they ultimately lead to healing. So we can choose to do that. Now, here is the litmus test to everything that I'm saying today. Where in your life in this new year is God leading you to become broken? You see, we need to run head on into the things that our pride is telling us don't do. We need to run headlong into those things that our pride is telling us, no, I'll do this, I'll do that, I will not do that. I was reading just this morning a little devotion about the average Christian is a half-broken Christian. I said, what do you mean a half-broken? The person explained it like this. They said, well, God, if You send me over here, I'll go. You send me over there, I won't. God, You ask me to do this, I will. God, You ask me to do that, I won't. God, You ask me to forgive this person, I will. God, You ask me. No. That's the place I need to go right now. If there's a person that I need to forgive, but my pride is saying, no, they're the one that's wrong. I'm right. Where in your life is God leading you to become broken? We need to run headlong into the very thing that our pride is telling us not to do. Now, I don't ever find that to be a joyful experience when I know what it is. But I have come to those places where once I have done it, there has been a tremendous blessing. And by the way, brokenness is not just something for a one time. It's the way we live our lives. The simple way we live our lives. You know, moment to moment, sometimes I need to have a little brokenness. You know, it's actually a great blessing because there's a great promise. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. And you have no ways of knowing how He will exalt you. Joseph went from about as low as he could be. One time he went from a pit to a prison. I guess he got promoted and went from a pit to a prison. But then he got really promoted, being Pharaoh's right-handed man. He was exalted. Well, you have no way of knowing that. That's God's business. But here's the deal. I'm trying to identify the greatest lessons I've learned in life. And I truly believe this lesson. That until William Green allowed that outer shell to be broken, and I still have to have it broken every day, okay? Until I allowed that outer shell to be broken, I didn't know what real freedom was. I didn't know what real love was. I didn't know the nearness of God. I didn't the blessing. And I look back at some of the things that I told God I was going to do for Him. They didn't really come to pass. Not really. I look back and I see some of the things that did happen. They happened because somehow or another I got broken before that. So the invitation today is, well, I want you to think about somebody that you would say, there's a Christian who knows about brokenness. You might want to go talk to them about their life. Surround yourself with good people. But sometime in this new year, I want you to know this. We're still all under construction, and we need to be broken. The invitation to come forward, Polly and I will pray with you. And the invitation is just simply this. In this new year, allow yourself to experience the blessing of brokenness. Let us stand.